2 Corinthians 5:17 here this morning. If you'll pull out your holy word, your holy Bible. This generation, they go straight to their phone. I'm still old school. This is actually called a book. They have leather on the outside, and it has these things called pages that are on the inside, and they allow you to mark it up on occasion and write yourself notes. That's real fun. And this came out back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth. And so, at any rate, thank God for His Word, regardless of what medium you choose to use. We love that Bible. Let's just pray. Father, thank You for today. Thank You for Your counsel, Your Word, Your instruction of encouragement. Thank You that You're building a people for the glory of Your name, not just here, Father, but around the world. Thank You for the privilege of being involved in that company. We love You good. Bless us. Speak to our hearts. Change our lives, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth in chapter 5, verse 17, and here he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Now, for those of you that are in Christ, did some old things fall off? And were there some new appetites and desires and direction that came into your life? And that would, in fact, be the proof of the pudding in a changed life, is some old things fell off, some new things came our way. And so we are, again, in a welcome back mode right now. Almost everybody's back. So I want to talk today about new beginnings. New beginnings. And the good news is that God wants to do something new in all of our lives. Now, typically when people get bored or when they're looking for things to do, that could be good, that could be bad. But sometimes people go to illegal avenues or not moral avenues or things that may not just be healthy or the best to try to fill that sense of feeling a little bit bored or needing something new in their life. But what they don't know is that God is actually the architect and the engineer of new things. He's the creator of new things. So conversely to not holding things back and trying to rein on the party, He's actually the dispenser of new things in our lives and new seasons in our lives. And even though He may dry up some things, right around the corner, He's breaking in with something new. There's a word for you. There's an action plan. There's a direction. There's something He wants to give from His heart. He is exciting. He is refreshing, regardless of a religious caricature. So He's the God of new things. He likes giving us a fresh start and a new beginning. How many of y'all can appreciate a little reset button on occasion in your life, all right? It's kind of like, all right, I'm about ready to kind of, you know, turn that on over and put that in the ledger, you know, just put that in file 13. How about a restart? Well, in the grace of God, there is a restart. And it may not appear to be logical, but He can settle the books in one fell swoop and say, all right, I'm going to give you a mulligan. I'm going to grant you jubilee. I'm going to hit restart, let you begin again. And there are seasons like that all throughout our Christian pilgrimage. And thank God for it that He's that way. And this is actually a major tenet of our Christian faith, to start fresh and have a new beginning from God, a new beginning. All throughout church history, we see where God has given His people a fresh start. Now, I mean, if I had been God or you had been God, I mean, after a while hanging out with that old ragtag crowd for, you know, hundreds of years and then just seeing them just blow it, we probably would have just sent them to the shed without dinner, you know. But all the time, God was giving them a fresh start. All right, we're going to begin again. I'm going to betroth you to Myself. I'm going to bring you back to Me. I'm going to pardon your iniquities, and I'm going to give you a future and a hope, saith the Lord. And He's just great that way. He's the God of the fresh start. And you got to forgive me because I'm having a little flash right now of that movie of comedian Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. What was it? The Other Guys. I'm just having this flash go by. I'm like, should I say it? But in this movie, there are these cops, and they're at odds with one another. And finally, they make up and they shake hands like, all right, we're going to have a fresh start. And that old Will Ferrell said, well, why don't we call ourselves the Febreze Brothers, because it's feeling just so fresh right now, you know. And Mark Wahlberg said, how about if I punch you in the face? But anyway, the Febreze Brothers. But at any rate, our God, I mean, it's like God, he's the architect of the Etch-a-Sketch. And again, that goes back dating me with, you know, the but at any rate, he will do that. And it says, all right, it's time to begin again. There's a new season. We talked about that last week, how he's the God of the seasons out of Daniel. But he'll allow us to begin again with fresh breath. There'll be a fresh wind to our back because he knows we can't stay in the same place all the time. He doesn't want us in a place of staleness or the same old, same old. So there are new horizons by the design of the Lord, and that's a good thing. So there is always something exciting about a new start. So here we are at the front of a new school year, and it is natural to consider the concept of new beginnings. And I know for the students here, you know, new school, new classes, new books, new, you know, new roommate, new dorm, new living spot, new city, new whatever. And so, and that's a good thing. We're going to look for God to see what he might do. So at the beginning of the new school year, it's exciting to consider new beginnings. But, you know, with God, the truth is, any time is a time for new beginnings with him. Any time is a time of a fresh start. The Greek word for born again means beginning. Beginning. So he's not the God of death. He's the God of life. I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Religion will beat you down. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't kick the cat. Don't smoke, chew, date those who do. There's just no glory in that, no fun in that. It's like, look, I'm here to blow wind in your sail. I'm here to lift you, to encourage you, to tell you you got a future and a hope. I mean, Jesus never would walk by, you know, a crippled man and just say, stay down. Ain't no hope for you, and just keep walking. No, he'd say, get up. Get your mat. Get up. Come on. Get up. And that's his word. Get up. Come on. Reset button. A new start. A new finish. A fresh faith. A new beginning. He's the God of that. And thank God for it. But born again means beginning. God makes all things new. A fresh start. Of course, following and inviting Jesus in is the key. I mean, even in pop culture, even in pop culture love songs, we see this principle of excitement over beginning something new. Y'all weren't born, but maybe your grandfather or your parents back in 1969, the classic hit. Now, classic means it transcends generations, okay? Classic means it'll skip over. So you've probably heard about it. But anyway, back in 1969, before there was running water. But anyway, back in 1969, this group called Chicago came out with that song, Beginnings, that was such a huge hit. And at the end of the song, they would just sing with such joy, only the beginning, only just a start. And of course, it was in the context of a love ballad. You know, it's only the beginning. It's only just the start. You've got the classic 1970s song, We've Only Just Begun, by the Carpenters. Again, maybe I've never heard of them, but again, it was a classic, still is. But maybe a little bit in your century, in 2006, High School Musical. Remember the opening of that movie with that song? What? The start of something new. Come on, living in my own world. Come on, Troy and Gabriella. Don't act like you ain't seen it. You've seen it five times. Don't act like that's beneath me. I didn't see it. That's for little girls with pigtails. No, you saw it. And you know you saw it. You saw number one, part two, and part three. My daughter, when she was young, she actually had a High School Musical birthday party. And she had all of her friends, and they had the posters, you know, Troy, Zac Efron, and Gabriella, and all that, and the whole crowd that was there. And had on posters, all this paraphernalia, and they were had birthday cake, and they were in our home, and then they were going to watch the movie together. And I'm kind of up there, you know, watching it, and Catherine's going, Dad, you're in the way. You're in the way. And I'm kind of up there like the rest of them, you know. It's the start of something new. Anyway, we love new things. The sense of opportunity, the sense of what if. What might God do? And that's what we want to ask ourselves at the beginning of a new school year. What might God do? What might God do? Again, spiritually, the idea of new things comes from Him. You know, God, because He's God, He's great at being God, He can even take old things and make them new. I mean, because He's God, anything is possible. He can even take old things and baptize them and speak to it and recreate and make it as if it's brand new. That's what we call resurrection. That's what we call healing. He can even take an old dream and morph it into a new dream. He can take old desires and energize that so it becomes a new vision and a new compelling passion. He's so great in that way because He's the God of life. And there's an energy to the power of His glory where He's encouraging those that will look to Him in a real way. In life, He'll take us to places of holy dependence. And then out of that dependence, He creates new blessings and new beginnings. Because God is a creator God. And thank God for that. Someone asked one time when I was witnessing on campus, you know, and I was just talking about our obligation to serve the Lord based on creation. He's the creator. And he said, well, who created God? And I said, well, no one did. He's the uncreated God. Yeah, but what if someone created Him? I said, well, if someone did, then God would be accountable to them. But since God created you, you're accountable to Him, so don't worry about it. But anyway, He is the uncreated God. And thank God for His creation. I mean, there is a testimony just looking out these windows. Like, wow, creation. When I consider the handiwork of God, you know, I just look at the marvel and the majesty of what You've flung into existence with a word, go figure. With a word He created. That's an amazing thing. And the psalmist said, dear me, what is man that You are mindful of him, or the son of man that You'd remember him? When we look at creation, it testifies to the creator, to the designer, and thank God for it. But because God is a creator God, He can and does make things new. With His power, He creates. Let's look how He related with our spiritual forefathers to unpack this principle. If you would go over to Isaiah 43, Isaiah 43, and we'll jump in here in verse 15. Here the prophet spoke and said, speaking from the Lord and for the Lord, he said, I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, now it springs up. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. So His mercy over Israel is astounding. His mercy over us is astounding. So let's go back up here to verse 16 and 17. Here it talks about how the Lord, the Holy One, it says He's making a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters. Now, that's no small thing. He's the one, again, He made a way. How many of y'all have read Exodus? Or either you've seen the Ten Commandments. You saw Charlton Heston when he grew out that white, you know, cotton around his chin. Y'all saw that. And he had the stick. You've seen the movie. You've seen him lead the people of Israel. How many of you realize that's no small thing? That is a mighty, mighty feat. So here he's talking about the one that made a way through the sea and made a path through the mighty waters. Again, no small thing. Crossing the Red Sea, not just crossing it on dry ground. That was one of the most remarkable miracles we ever read about. Not just that, but the drowning of the whole Egyptian army coming behind them, horses, chariots, generals, warriors, reinforcements and all, snuffed out like a wick. I mean, this was a moment. I mean, Cecil B. DeMille, I mean, this was a moment. Yay, God. But yet, according to this text, in verse 18, we are told, forget about it. Call not to mind the former things. You know, the one who brought Israel across on dry land through the mighty waters. Then we're told to forget about it. In other words, don't live there. Don't dwell there. Don't dwell there in the past. Let's read that. Verse 18 again. Forget what? The former things. Do not dwell on the past. Now, I don't know about you, but that takes faith. How many of y'all are tempted to dwell on the past? How many of y'all have ever hit the replay button and just replayed something? Whether it was good or not good, you replayed it again in your mind. You meditated it again on your mind. Whether it's good, a good thing, we want to honor God for the good things. Sometimes, though, in a negative way, we can obsess on the negative DVDs that are in our mind, as it were. You know, and we can play that again and all of a sudden become captive to that experience once again. But God's trying to get us out of both, even being stuck in the good thing. A good thing is a good thing, but he's got another good thing just around the corner. And in order to get that, you've got to leave the former to get the new. We have to appreciate and walk away from the old to get the new in God's economy. So again, to me, that's a pretty tall order to just go forward. Don't live there. That takes faith. I mean, I think had I been back during that time, during the Exodus, I mean, had I passed through the Red Sea on dry ground, I think I would have started a museum right there at the water's edge, you know, and I would have had it open 24/7 going, dear me, dear me. Let's rehearse that scene again. And I think I would have found some video footage of it and all the tourists that would come in. I said, I'll just sit, watch this. Just, I mean, I would have parked right there. I would have relived that. I just would have thought, I ain't never in my born days. I mean, I saw Flipper in the water, right? I saw Nemo, mind my own business, walking across, you know, same shoes I had, you know, they're not going to wear out. And here I am with this ragtag group of folk and just walls all heaped up, walls of water. However God did it, just blowing through there. And then I get a new group of people. I say, sit down in the chair. Let me show you now. Now watch this. There I am right there. See me? I'm right there in the middle. There. I would build a museum right there. I would park right there. And I would milk it for all it was worth and then some. But you see, God has many scenes in his play. Many scenes. That was just one scene. Remarkable? Yes. But just one scene. Can you say just one scene? And it was great. But it was just one scene. Have you ever built any museums or tents by one scene in your life before? Maybe even possibly the wrong things are defining us in our lives. Maybe there was one scene when we were 12 that still has power in our lives today. And God's like, I want to take you out from that. I want to define you and tell you who you are. That won't define you in my economy. I'll define you. And you know what? I got something right around the corner for you. I got a new beginning for you. I got something fresh. I got a new identity. I've got robes of righteousness. I've got a future and a hope that's carved out to you. Will you believe me for it? Will you take it by faith? Will you leave the museum? Will you put the car and take it out of park and put it in drive and think that maybe that windshield is big and the rearview mirror is small for a reason? Because there's something around the corner. There's just one scene. Celebrating one scene in our life, it's good. It's a good thing. We worship God because he initiates good things in our lives. And we respond to his goodness. That's what we call worship. We say, yay, God. We want to be like the one leper that returned and said, I just want to thank you. He goes, well, where are the other nine? Didn't I heal 10? So we want to be very quick to honor the one who helped and delivered and saved and came through and answered prayer. We want to honor God in that way and just say, oh, yay, God, you're so amazing. We want to worship Him. Celebrating one scene in our life is good. Celebrating one scene too long and forever, it's not that it's not good, but it's something that God wants to add another part in the story. That's not the only part that makes up your life. Lamenting or mourning over one scene. Ever done that? Ever mourned and grieved over one scene? That could be normal. Doing it for too long might not be healthy. Are we here? It's like we mourn over brokenness. We mourn over sin. We mourn over things that are hurtful and painful. But we look to God afresh and find God again because He's a God of new beginnings. He just is. You may think, I've lived a whole lot of life. That's all right. He's got another scene. He's got another scene in His great story of redemption. See, God knows this. Creator God knows this. And that's why new things are fun and fresh. New beginnings are from the Lord. So again, verse 16, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I mean, I remember that old rock band, Boston. I remember seeing them at the Carter Finley Stadium, that big old hit song, Don't Look Back, A New Day Is Breaking. So, I mean, you can find truth anywhere, you know. I mean, it's in the arts and just in creation. But there's some truth there. But in first part of verse 19, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I like his wording here. See. Can you say see? See? It's almost like, hey, right here. Hey, yeah, right. See? I'm doing a new thing. Can't you perceive it? And I want to say, no, perceive it, see it, because I'm still giving tours by the Red Sea in my museum. I can't see it. I'm still giving tours on what you. I can't see it. I'm looking there. Can't you perceive it? I mean, plus God. I mean, haven't you commanded us to remember? Sure, He has. Remember the deeds of the Lord. But we don't live there. We don't merely dwell there. We remember. We honor God, but we don't live there. So here comes Creator God in the latter part of verse 19. And He said, I am making, creating, a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. So, water in the desert. Okay? Now catch this. This is how unpredictable and fresh God can be. First, God makes a way and a path through the mighty waters of the sea. Does He not? But now, He wants to create streams in the desert. It's like, well, which one is it, God? First, He makes a way and a path through the waters of the sea. Then He creates streams in the desert. First, He delivered Israel by making a dry path through the water. Next, He delivers through water, making a path through the dry desert. He reversed it. Why? Because He's God and He just likes to change it up. I delivered you out of water. Now in this season, I'm going to deliver you due to water. Y'all know He never leads or heals or delivers the same way. Even when God moves in history and we so want Him to do it exactly the way He did, and we try to scoot everything up and even maybe create the environment where He can act just that way. Well, He hadn't changed, but all of His methods are fresh and new. His mercies are fresh every morning. He's the uncreated God. Everything about Him, the originality, the creativity, He'll never do it the same. When He made you, He said, I will never do that again. But it was a good thing. It was a good thing. I broke the mold. Never do that again. But He reversed the order. Why? Because He's Creator God. He never does it the same way. Therefore, following Him is fun. It's fun. People say you can't put God in a box. People say, put God in a box. Well, no, He ain't in a box. You in a box. You know, you and I are in a box. God's free as a bird, has been from all eternity past. creating, moving. You know, my favorite line in the whole movie of the Passion of the Christ, because see, again, following him is fun, and we're following him into the new. But my favorite scene in the Passion of the Christ was when Jesus was, he was beaten and he was bloodied and he was carrying that heavy cross, and he begins to break down under the weight of the cross, and it shows his mother, Mary, who looks down the corridor, and she sees there not just Jesus, but her son breaking down under the weight of the cross. And of course, a grieving mother, she's running to him in slow motion. And as she's running to him, it shows a flashback of when he was a little boy, because he was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man, fully human, fully God. And she remembered when he was a little boy and he would stumble, how she'd run to his aid to pick him up. And then finally she gets to him, again, just beaten and just so badly beaten under the weight of that cross. And as soon as she gets to him, he looks up to her and said, "See, Mother, I make all things new." And he lifted that cross and he began again. And I'm telling you, every hair, I'm just like, ah! "See, Mother, I make all things new. That's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm on mission." To be nailed on that tree so that I can bring redemption to mankind. I'm not putting people down. I'm looking for a way to raise them up, get religion off of them, and give them a future and a hope. I make all things new. Can you say new? He's the God of newness. He's the God of fresh beginnings. And thank God for it. Thank God for it. He's so amazing. So amazing. It's what he does. You know, but going back to creation, you know, sometimes it's like creation could kind of be like, you know, because the clay can't say to the potter, he created the earth, he can do what he wants to, but it's almost like creation is like, all right, God, what do you want me to do? I'm a sea, I'm an ocean, you know, do you want me to flow or do you want me to dry up? I mean, you know, what do you want me to do here? Do you want me to, you want springs to come out of a dry desert? I mean, on one occasion, remember when Joshua was fighting, the sun stayed still. It's like the sun. I mean, do you want the earth to rotate around? I mean, what? Because he can speak and suspend laws of nature that he created. So he can cause the sun to stand still or the earth to stop rotating around it, you see. I mean, you think about the Jordan River. I mean, dear me, the Jordan was used so many times in Scripture. It's like, you know, well, the Jordan doesn't know, do I float, run this way? Do I run this way? Do I draw up? Do I wall up with heaps on either side? Remember the children of Israel in Joshua 3, when they were going across the Jordan? I mean, they walked across the Jordan. The Jordan stopped flowing in that area. And then remember Elijah and Elisha in 2 Kings 2, when he went and he crossed the Jordan, it heaped up again as Elijah and Elisha crossed it, and then Elijah got taken up into a whirlwind, a chariot of fire took him onto the house. Then he dropped his mantle, and the river starts flowing again, and then Elisha grabs that mantle, goes back to the Jordan, and the Jordan's like, here he comes again, you know, and just said, where's the God of Elijah? And bam, hits that river, and it parts again. Oh, I love God. It's thinking, do I flow? Do I stop? Do I stand up in heats? Do I flow this way, that way? God provides for his people through new things. He provides. Verse 20. Why does 20 through 21? He said, the wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself. God provides for his own. God provides. Can you say he provides? Why does God lead in this way? Why does he create these new beginnings? Latter part of verse 21, speaking of his people. Why? That they, my people, may proclaim my praise. Why do I do these miracles? Why do I give new beginnings? Why do I take you out of captivity? Why do I lead you and break through time and time again? Oh, that the people of God might praise the God who loves them and cares for them, gently nurtures, and is a good shepherd whereby we don't want. And he leads us, and he makes a path through the mighty waters. And then in the next season, he creates streams in the desert. He's just amazing that way. Oh, that we might praise him. Follow the Lord in his new beginning for you. It will result in praise. Whatever that means for you in this new season, follow the Lord in his new beginning. It will result in praise. Don't stop where you are. It's always too soon to quit. It's always too soon to quit, always. Following him brings newness in our lives, freshness. Romans 7:6 says, by dying to what once bound us, we serve in the newness of the Spirit. We want to follow the Lord in new beginnings. But you know what? Also, following the Lord brings about and creates new beginnings. You stay with him, watch what he does. We follow him into a new beginning, and because we're following him, he'll create new things. It's his nature. It's who he is. One example of this here, Matthew 9. We'll go there together. Matthew 9, familiar story, verse 27. It says, and Jesus went on from there. Two blind men, what? Followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. And their sight was restored. Here's the thing. Because these two blind men were willing to follow Jesus, it created a new beginning for them. And I mean a new beginning. Because they were willing to follow him. They had heard about him, but they made a choice. I'm going to get near him. Not everybody does. A lot of people hears about him. Oh, yeah, Jesus died on a cross, born in a manger. No, but will you get near him? These two blind men, they had heard about him, but they got near him. And because they were willing to follow him, he gave them a new beginning. Love that. And we realize he's not a respecter of persons. Because Peter, James, and John chose to obey the call of God, because they chose to follow the Lord, it created a new beginning for them. And that would be an obvious understatement. Would it not be? There was great risk holding on to their business in the moment of that call, dropping the nets. But because they followed him, new beginning for him and for them. So we release the past. We enjoy the present. We embrace the future. It's a new school year. Here comes Creator God. What might he do? What might happen to us if we follow him? Two blind men stepped into their new beginning by faith. By faith, they got their new beginning. We know this because Jesus, after touching their eyes, said, according to your faith, will it be done to you. Again, born again means beginning. If you're here today and you need a new beginning in God, first, surrendering to his lordship, putting him first in your life. Then you can experience that total forgiveness and that salvation that he freely provides to everyone. I want to give you a brand new start. I want to give you a new life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, old things pass away, all things become new. I want to give you a new life. There is nothing like the freedom of walking away from the weight of guilt, the weight of the past, the weight of not measuring up, the feeling of not being good enough or not this or not that. And in one moment of accepting his provision, that he lifts that off our shoulders and we begin afresh, anew, a new lease on life by grace through faith. He's amazing in that way. If that's where you are, he's got that for you today. Today's the day of salvation. Secondly, maybe you just want to hit the reset button as we come into this new year and recalibrate and trust him for a new beginning. But regardless of where you are, he wants to breathe a fresh breath of life over you and I today. He's the God of new beginnings and new things. It's his nature. It's his character. And he wants to give it by the Spirit. Why don't we stand up together? So just on the first order, if we just want to not take it for granted. If by chance you're like, you know, I've heard about him, but I've not pressed in to really follow him. And today you really want to come out of that and say, I really want to follow him. If I can receive that forgiveness and he can be my Lord in that way whereby I know that I'm saved, that heaven's my home. If you've never done that, I don't want to take it for granted that everyone has. But if you've not done that and you say, you know what, I'll take that. I'll receive that. I'll sign up for that. I want to be his son or his daughter. Just before we go forward, if that's you, just throw your hand up in the air so I can see it. If you're like, you know, this is the new day. I want to make my peace with God and come out of the former path. Anyone here before we go forward? Okay, anybody else? Sorry, it's just home folk. We just love on it. Anybody else? Say, I want to receive this. I want a new beginning. And then secondly, again, it's like, I want to trust God for that reset button. I don't want to be living in the museum by the Red Sea. I want to honor God for the good, but I certainly don't want to be defined by the bad. And I want to come out of that. That's anyone. Just say, yep, that's me. I need that reset, Lord. Just fresh grace in my life. All right, just hands down. Let's just pray both prayers together, everyone together. Dear Jesus, thank you. You're the Son of God. You came into the world to make all things new. I receive your sacrifice by faith. And I declare that you are the Son of God. That you love me and died for me. Therefore, I exercise my will to call you my Lord. To come out of my sin. Forgive me, Lord. I choose to follow you. And serve you with your help from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Now let's pray this. Dear Lord, reset my focus and my life. Recalibrate me this fall. I'm believing you for new beginnings, not to be defined by yesterday. But I thank you by faith for the new thing, the good thing you are doing in my life and breaking forth in my life. Like the two blind men, I take it by faith because I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you believe that? Well, this week, I want you to be expectant and look at your world with new eyes and just trust in the Lord that loves to create and loves to give new things from his heart. Amen. Why don't we praise the Lord here this morning? Can I have a seat just for a second? Bev, you can get my wife, Elizabeth, if you could get her. She was going to come out. Thank you. We're going to our good friend, Eddie Evans. How many of y'all love Eddie? Have a seat just for a second, if you would. Eddie Evans is a friend of ours who is a missionary in Ethiopia. And he comes through here every summer. Just a great guy out of Greenville, North Carolina. We met him years ago, doing a great work there in Ethiopia. So we correspond with him. We just found out that their school, I know we've had flooding here in in Louisiana, and there's a lot of good things going on with Samaritan's Purse and Franklin Graham and other ministries. But with Eddie, this is home folk, and they've had this flood that's come and wiped out their school. So I just want us to be a blessing for him this morning, and just to receive something from him. So Elizabeth was going to unpack that if you want to grab her. But why don't we just pray, and then she'll come up, and she's got some of the stats of some of the different things that they have undergone. Lord, we just thank you for our friend. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, your heart for the nations of the world. Lord, we thank you for Ethiopia. Thank you for the good work that our buddy is doing. Lord, and we just pray that even what we can do to help supply the need of just the books that were ruined or the computers, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would just use us to be an extension of your love for him, God. We pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And there are a couple of pictures he just threw us. But Elizabeth, you actually read the breakdown of what's going on over there.
Thank you, Taylor. We try to, at the beginning of every school year, do something for a group of children that maybe need just a little help getting started in the school year. Collectively, our church has done little backpack drives for children here at Wiley. In the past, we've done drives for children at the Life Center in Durham, which is in the Cornwallis housing community. And this year, we have the opportunity to do something a little bit different, but it's still in line with helping children get started back to school. As Taylor mentioned to you, our good friend Eddie Evans, who is here, when he's here on furlough, this is his church. He's been a missionary in Addis Ababa for 12 years. And his church and another church partner together in a town called Wanji. Now, my pronunciation may not be exactly correct, but if you've never heard of it, it's right. So anyway, they have a school for 750 children, grades 1 through 9. In Wanji, this community has been especially hard hit because a government-owned sugar factory was relocated. The jewel of this community is this school. And recently they had a historic 20-year flood. Now, we've heard about the floods in Louisiana. Our hearts go out to them. Some of you may have donated to Red Cross or helped in some way. Well, as you all can imagine, there's no such relief in a place like Ethiopia. And there was $27,000 of damage done. If you can imagine going to school and being a teacher or getting ready for school that they're doing here in this lovely school we're able to meet in, there are no books for first through sixth grade. They were all destroyed. There was five classrooms were ruined, 17 computers were destroyed, and the wall, as in many countries, they had a partition, a wall around the compound of the school, and that wall just for security and just for protection, and the wall had fallen down in several places. So they are asking for our help. And I thought, what a wonderful opportunity we have to be a blessing to children and to support them in the pride of their community, to help them restore what has been damaged by the floods. So just, you know, ask God, ask in your heart what you can do to be a part. Like I said, we've all done this in the past and donated backpacks and pencils and books. And this is a way that we can be a real blessing. They've raised $7,000. They need $24,000. And I believe that God is giving us the opportunity to be a part of that. Thank you.